It is good to be here. Hopefully I don't sound too much like a toad. My lovely husband, such a giver. He gave me his colds on my birthday in January. Thank you very much, dear. And so I still have a little bit of the hacky, so sorry about that. I was actually opened my computer and went on Pinterest, which is a little scary. And I was looking for a recipe, and I came across some memes, and they're so funny. And we have our 35th wedding anniversary coming up in a few weeks, and so I thought, oh, I'll look up some of the marriage stuff, you know, and see if I could, you know, see something that I could use maybe for my husband. And so I thought this was kind of funny. This first one, never laugh at your wife's choices. You are one of them. Yeah. 90% of being married is just shouting, what, from other rooms. Does anybody else? Yes. Okay. Behind every angry woman stands a man who has absolutely no idea what he did wrong. And then this last one. This would be a message on my card to my husband. You're the only one I want to annoy for the rest of my life. Happy anniversary. No. But sometimes we do find ourselves getting annoyed. Anybody else? So, has anybody else had this? Have you noticed? Just checking. Here's a question for you. Have you ever noticed that there are some people that are different from you? Just checking. Okay, good. And for many of us, it is definitely our spouse or someone else that's very significant or our child. You're going, who spawned you? I'm not quite sure. Yeah. And how many of you have tried to change that person? Yeah. How'd that work for you? In Romans 12:18, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So let's dissect that just real quickly. If possible. So that's a goal. We should strive for it, correct? So far as it depends on you, whose responsibility is it? Each of ours, right? And we need to do everything we can to be at peace. So what we're going to jump into today is something that I've done for decades, and it's been around for way longer than I have been. But it's actually, we're going to have some fun. It's called the personality puzzle. Now, for some of you, you might have gone through and taken some different assessments, so this will be a good review for you. But we're going to tackle it from a different perspective. We're going to find out how God uniquely hardwired you. And as you're going through this, you're going to sense, okay, I think my husband or significant other's this. And then my kids, oh, yeah, we might lean a little bit towards this. And the reason why this is so important, I've worked with couples for decades. And one of the main things, besides Christ being the center of the marriage, of the relationship, one of the other major columns, right, that you hear all the time is communication. You know, because if you can't communicate, all systems are down, right? And so what you're going to find out today is what your communicative language is, and possibly what your husband and other significant people in your lives, what their language is, okay? So what happens if I said, okay, all of you, pack your bags, tomorrow I'm going to send you to China to start a business, and you get no interpreter. Would it be possible? Yes. Yeah, I know. Okay. Without iPhones. There you go. So, yeah, really, no interpreter, no iPhone, no nothing. And, you know, yes, would you eventually probably be able to do it with lots of hand motions and, you know, but so much harder, right? But if you have an interpreter, it's like piece of cake, bam, 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 here we go. And a lot of times we get married, oh, isn't life wonderful? I'm in so in love. We're great. We're like this. And then in that first year of marriage, you're going, wow, we speak a different language. Who are you? And I hear this a lot in couples, and they're like, I feel like I've said this 100 times. I feel like I'm talking to this wall. Because you're talking in your language, not in his. And so we're going to be kind of going over some fun things this morning. So what you have at your table is a sheet of paper that has 4 boxes in it. If you haven't gotten that yet, could you pass those out? Okay. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do this. And this is just a quick thumbnail test. This is not, you know, off the chart, 100%, you know, there's an online one you can take that's more involved. But this is what I want you to do. In each box, there is a word or a phrase in those boxes. In fact, there's even a little phrase at the bottom of each box. I want you to circle each word or phrase that most pertains to you on a regular basis. Now, you might have a box where you circle a lot. You might have a box where you circle one. There's no right or wrong. So circle the things that in your most normal state of being, you know, like at home, relax around family or what have you, circle what you think pertains to you most often. And if you have to sit there and think about it and think about it and think about it, you probably need to circle it. Okay, so I'll give you a few minutes really quick to do that. Yes, that's the phrase. If that phrase in quotes pertains to you, circle it. If you're not sure and you have someone near you that knows you really well, ask them. What do you think? Am I this? Ideally, you want to have your spouse or someone that knows you really well also look at it for you. Oops, sorry. Once you're done, take all of the things that you circled, times it by two, and there's a little line there to put your score. And again, this is not something you compare to somebody else. Everybody's going to be a little different. And that's okay. Some of you might have high scores. Some of you might have low scores in some boxes or kind of in the middle. You name it. Some of you are already done. Some of you will need a little extra encouragement. And this is the quietest you'll ever hear a MOPS group in your life. How are we doing? Anybody need a little extra time? Almost done? I know I'm pushing, sorry, but there's a lot to get through. Okay. If you're needing a little extra more time, raise your hand. I just need to see. Okay. Or the G's. The B's or the G's, usually. Okay. All right, since I hear chatting, I think that we're pretty close to being done. So let's go ahead. I would like to, just before we launch in, can I just say a quick prayer and we'll just go for it. And by the way, you don't have to take notes because at the end of this, you'll be given a handout that has pretty much everything I covered. So, okay? So that way you don't have to feverishly, and you can just relax, enjoy your coffee. Let's ask God to bless it. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather as moms. What a privilege it is to be a mom, God. But man, it's so nice to have fellowship with each other. We ask you to bless every part of this morning in your name. Amen. Okay, so you have four boxes there. This is what I'm going to be doing in a short amount of time because I can't do a full seminar on it. It would take too long. I'm going to be describing each of these boxes. And I'm going to be seeing which one of you guys is that your highest box, okay? And I'm going to be describing what one would be if they scored high numbers in this box, okay? So this first one, let's talk about the O box. So everybody look at your, hopefully you counted up your circles times it by two. If O box is your highest box, please stand. If the O box, well, I knew Jill would be, but... Okay, everyone look around the room. And of course, these O's are usually chatting because that's what we do best. But the O, and by the way, the reason why I like this is just is basically off a disc model. It's been around forever. But I like this particular one that was done by Gary Smalley and John Trent. That's who I was trained by 35 years ago. is because they actually attach an animal name to it, and it makes it so much easier to remember and help you, okay? So the O's, let me just stay standing for a second. The O's are called otters. Now, if you know otters in nature, they like to do basically two things all day. Any guesses? Play and eat, yes. Now, play, eat. All right, now, you guys can have a seat. Okay, let's hear about otters. Now, some of you, this is your lowest, but guess what? Please listen to every detail I give you, because you might be married to one. You might have a child that fits in this category. You might have an in-law that fits this category, right? So here we go. I'm going to be describing a really high otter. How many of you otters that stood up scored 20 or above? Okay, so you few, pretty much everything I say will probably be right on the money for you. Those of you who might have, you know, 10, you know, or other mixes of numbers of otter, you might say, oh yeah, that works for me. Yeah, no, that's not me, but that's me. Okay, just listen, because we have a blend of all four. Here we go. So otters are the most obvious people to pick out in a room. And the reason why is we tend to, I'm also a high otter, we tend to be loud. We tend to be, you know, have you ever had dinner out in a restaurant with a high otter? You'll know this. You'll know this. You start having a conversation, it's at a normal level. And then they're getting excited about something. And as they get excited telling the story, it raises. So the whole restaurant can hear the story, you know. And by the way, you know, high otters, we are compelled to fill dead air. You know, high otters are difficult. It's difficult being a group leader, you know, discussion group leader, because we're like, 2 seconds went by. No, you know, and we have to fill the air. And we talk with our hands, you know. So a trick for an otter, if you really want them to focus on you, make them sit on your hand. Yeah, on their hands, because, you know, we just tend to be really open about that, okay? Filling the air and filling, you know, the space around us. I saw this man at an airport one time, and there was absolutely no one in this whole section. He was by himself, and he's on his cell phone, propped on his ear, and he's talking like this. And I'm like, that's an otter. There you go. So, also, by the way, I won't do it this morning, but just checking on the size of purses for otters, because let me tell you, we tend to have big purses. And if I really wanted to embarrass you, we would open it up and we would probably find receipts from like 6 months ago and gum wrappers and you name it. Our cars tend to be rolling diaries of fast food places, you know, and it's kind of crazy. So if you haven't already guessed, a high otter, they're all about fun. They're all about, hey, I'm a party waiting to happen kind of people, right? They're the cheerleaders of the four personalities. They're the influencers. They're like, you can do it. They love to coach and all that kind of stuff, right? They tend to be optimistic. They don't have any fear when it comes to people. You could put a high otter in a room of 100 people that they don't know, and they're like, awesome. Look at all the people I get to learn, you know, meet and connect with. Some of you who didn't score high on this would be like, oh, no way. No. Let me go sit over there and do not ask me to do. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like that. So high otters, we are motivated by kind of like pats on the back and approval, companionship. Get this. High otters know lots of people very little. Does that make sense? High otters know lots of people very little. You can go with a high otter, especially in a community that they've been in a long time, and everybody knows them. You can't go anywhere. You're in the bathroom, you meet somebody. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody's out there, right? Now, high otters are good with their verbal skills usually. We do tend to be the ones of using, what is it, the women, they say the women have to use, you know, 100 and whatever thousand. Trust me, otters are on steroids. We have to use, that's just by the morning cup of coffee. The rest is, you know. So we lead by our verbal skills. We love to be involved. We love to say yes to all sorts of things, especially if it sounds fun, right? We reject isolation. So let me just tell you something. Every personality has what I call the dark side. You know, God's wired you high otters to be, you know, be that extroverted cheerleader, motivator, influencer, you can do it, you know, that kind of person. But when we're under stress, all of our natural God-given things can be pushed out and not so pretty. Remember our really good verbal skills? When we're under stress, ooh, we can use those verbal skills really well. We can cut somebody to the knees, bam, with our words. Not a problem, right? Now, high otter, we have no fear, right? We're kind of like, don't fence me in. The world is my stage. It's all great. But under stress, sometimes we can be too Pollyanna-ish. We can be too trusting. We can be, oh, no problem. They're great. They can do that. Because we, you know, we want to think the best or hope for the best, but it can really bite us. Another thing that we're not so good at, high otters, is we are, let's just say, punctually challenged. Anybody here, high otter, punctually challenged? Which drives the B's and the G's nuts, just by the way, but we'll talk about that in a minute. We, you know, and it's not that we wake up every morning going, I'm going to be late to everything today. No, that's not it. We wake up and we fail to properly estimate getting from point A to point B without distraction. You know, you ever heard that word, that phrase, squirrel? For an otter, we're easily distracted, especially when it deals with people. So our problem is, oh, we need to get to here, you know, at this time, but oh, wow, that phone calls us and somebody's chatting and we're chatting and, you know, all those kinds of things. Another thing that gets us in trouble is deadlines and getting actually something turned in on time or done on time. Again, not that we plan on saying, yeah, I'll do that for you, in our minds thinking, oh, I'm not going to get that done. No, we say yes, forgetting that we said yes to two other people over here. And so now we've got five plates spinning because we said yes. And usually we say yes to things that look fun and good and neat, but we get overcommitted, and then we're like, and we think we can do it. We have a really high propensity to think that we can accomplish all sorts of things, okay? So we have to be really careful about that. So high otters, our dark side can be manipulative. We can overestimate results. We sometimes don't get our follow-through done because we get distracted. High otters in college, we're the ones pulling the all-nighters the night before that paper's due. Why? We've known about it for a month. Too much other stuff going on. Woo! You know, coffee. Yes, I'm there. You know, and then you're killing yourself, literally going in my pajamas to my class that next morning because I had to turn that, you know, paper in. So we have to be careful with that. But we need our high otters. We do. We need that strength. We love to just, you know, again, kind of we're the kind of light the fire under some others, and that's not a bad thing. Okay? So that's a real quick description of the otter. Oh, by the way, personal space. High otters, we tend to be, our personal space tends to be littered with a lot of personal paraphernalia. Always some dead plants. Otters, do any of you have dead plants somewhere? Because usually there is, because we forget to water those said plants, as my daughters always are reminding me, like, Mom, seriously. So I pretty much use succulents, because that's, I do pretty well with succulents, but the rest, mm-mm. So anyway, okay, so that's the O's. Now, next one is the B. We're going to talk about the B box. And this is pretty much direct opposite of an O. Okay, so if you're a B box, stand up. If B is your highest. Oh, wow, we have more than usual. Seriously, usually in a group this size, I see like three. That's awesome. Okay, ladies, you guys, everybody look around. Because, and again, if this is not your highest, please listen because you're probably married to one. Here we go. So the B stands for beavers. And the reason why, I know, don't go on the humor part. That's just not going to go. The reason why is in nature. The beavers, they're like absolutely incredible engineers. And they are like precise. And they're building with these little minute sticks and this and that and mud. They're building these dams that hold back gazillions of gallons of water and pressure. They're absolutely meticulous. And so you guys are the second most obvious person to spot because you are the opposite of the otter. Because otters, detail is so not in our vocabulary, okay? Not at all. So here you guys, the otters are, right? And beavers are really soft-spoken usually, quiet voice, very closed in their physical gestures, small movements. You have to pry info out of a high beaver. Otters will tell you anything at any given time. Doesn't matter. Beavers, you have to pry. Beavers are on a need-to-know basis usually, right? They have the good posture. Their cars usually are immaculate. Their private, their personal space, again, is usually very orderly, neat and clean. You can actually see their counters or their top of their desk usually. They protect their space. So, beavers, you guys, what is your strength? You are examiners. You analyze. You evaluate. Oh, if I were at 7-Eleven and we got held up, Lord help me, I hope there would be a beaver next to me. Because the guy, the cop would come in and go, okay, what'd you see? And I'm like, I think it was a guy. You know, might have had a hat on, you know. And the beaver would be like, oh, yeah, no, it was this guy. He was approximately 6'2". He was wearing a green, you know, green jersey. And I ran out and got his license plate number. You know, because that's what beaver, I'm married to one. You know, he's got a healthy dose of this, which worked well as a police officer, right? And so you eyes are just examiners. You like accuracy. Unlike the beaver who doesn't want to be fenced in, beavers, you like having some structure. It's a safety thing for you. It just feels safe. You like to control with your knowledge. And you do like to be right, by the way. And you like quality control. And you say, here's my world. And usually your world, high beaver's world, evolves around some sort of expertise, usually. And so I'm really good at this skill. Now, you know what? I blew out my Achilles doing a show years ago. And my doctor, I'm sure, was a high beaver. Because he literally had to sew the shredded Achilles all back together, strand by strand. Now, if I were doing that surgery, a high otter, I'd be like, eh, that's close enough. You know? No, he actually went to school. He actually studied. You know, he actually, you know, I would appreciate that he's a high beaver. Usually our engineers, you know, people like that, because they're so good at those details and those methods. And their key phrase is, let's do it the right way. All really good traits to have, right? They follow directions. They actually read directions. It's an awesome thing, especially for us otters. And well, my assistant for years was a beaver. She's great. Here, Peggy, read that for me and tell me what I need to do. She's awesome. Concentration on task. Again, you guys, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, I guarantee you, if you're a high-scoring beaver, you're analyzing 24/7. Oh, what is she wearing? I wouldn't wear that. Oh, I really like that. I mean, you're just analyzing constantly. All right? And this is the challenge I have a lot of times with couples with a high beaver in the mix, is that it's actually your way of showing love. You want to help them do it right. And to be honest, 99% of the time, your way is probably the right way. But let me give you a clue. When you're under stress, or when your partner, or when your spouse is under stress, or your child, or whoever you're helping, it can come across as critiquing, as parental, you know, those types of things. So you have to be really, really, really careful, inflexible. You know, you can come across that kind of stuff, and you tend to avoid conflict. But, oh, you like to control. Make no mistake. Now, you're not naturally people-oriented like the otter. That doesn't mean you know, aren't people-oriented, but you're just not naturally. So for a high beaver, you have to really think about it. Actually, you know, process it and go, I need to go and speak or, you know, be social. Because your natural inclination is to sit back and watch. You guys are the best people watchers of all four. Because why? You're sitting there. And you're analyzing and you're evaluating. It's just, my husband, at a party, we had to learn this way in the beginning. Because as a high otter at a party, you think I'm going to sit there in the corner all night? That is so not going to happen, right? My butt does not, I'm sorry, did I say butt? Okay. Anyway, you know, I'm sitting there and you can do it. And I'm flitting around like a butterfly. And my husband had to figure this out really quick. So we learned. Here's my husband. He's happy to climb, to sit over on this couch and have a one-on-one, maybe a one-on-two conversation. He could sit there the whole night. Whole night, never get up once. I'm, of course, and then I've learned to come back, check in, and then I go back out again. And we're both happy. Does that make sense? So, my high beaver. But here you go. We need him. You guys are inspectors. You plan. You have high standards. We need you in our world. But the downside is you have to be careful of whether or not you're critiquing. High beavers tend to have high personal standards that are way up here. But what they forget is not everybody around them is like them. But they're assuming that they're going to have the same high standard. So you have to be careful with that. Okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute more. All right. So that is your high beaver. Now, the next one is the L box. How many of you, this is your high. Did you score high? Have a stand. Have a stand. Let everybody see our high L's. All right. Woohoo. All right. Have a seat. All right. I should have said lions. Let me hear you roar. Lions. Now, some of you high O's, this might be your second highest box. It tends to go hand in hand sometimes. Also with a high G, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So this is the third most obvious personality to peg, but mostly by body language. When a high lion, and I do mean high, like over 20, when a high lion enters a room, there's this intensity that enters the room with the high lion, okay? And there are flurry of activity with a high lion. There's energy, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, but there's always energy with a high lion, right? Now, high lions, I'm also a high lion. We are driven, goal-oriented people. Nothing wrong with that, again, unless we let it slip to the dark side, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Lions also have gestures, but, you know, in honors, usually we're kind of a little bit more woo-hoo, you know, and all over the map. Lions have more emphatic gestures. Lions are really good, huh, huh, you know, that kind of thing, all right? And lions, they are invaders of space, man. High lions, they make no mistake, they can get right up in your face, you know, and you're like, and they're like, you know, they can just go at you. And their personal space, this is important for a high lion, personal space, it does not have to be about the cuteness of it, it just has to be functional, it has to be productive, that's all they care about. They don't care how it looks, they just want it to function well. So if you haven't noticed, lions tend to be dominant. Now this is where lions and beavers have something in common. This is the only area that lions and beavers have in common, is they like to control. Beavers do it much more subversely, and lions are pretty much out there. You know what a lion is thinking, like an otter, at any given time. Because you can usually read, like, I used to have a boss that was a high lion, and it was like, we'd come in the office. So what's it looking like? You know, I would talk to his administrative assistant. So what's the mood today? We want to make sure. Don't want to approach it if it's not a good time. So a key word for a lion is control. Lions love results. Oh, my goodness. Now, let me just give you something real quick. Lions are the worst listeners of the four. Now, that doesn't mean that we wake up every day going, gosh, I'm going to be the worst listener ever today. No. This is what happens, because let me tell you, give you a little hint. High lions, the thing that motivates a high lion most often is a problem to be solved. We love problem solving. It's our strength, right? So when you go to a high lion and you go, da-da-da-da, honey, da-da-da-da-da, do you ever get that glassy look that you see on their eyes? Because if you have, you've lost them, okay? And the reason is this, one of two reasons why high lions are the worst listeners. One is you actually come to them with a problem, and they're already in their minds problem solving. And that's a bad habit, high lions. We can't do that. We have to stay present, focused on their eyes, and listening, because you miss some key ingredients if you're already going ahead and problem solving it. The other reason why lions are the worst listeners sometimes is because high lions, more than any of the four, are workaholics, have 20 projects going, usually on their cell phone, and they're thinking about what they have to get done. Because lions and beavers are naturally task-oriented, not naturally people-oriented. Doesn't mean you can't, because you're going to have some of the other stuff mix in. But we have to actually think about it. Okay? So like otters, high lions don't like to be fenced in. They love to be chief if they can, because we like to run the show. They're really good in emergency situations because they think very quickly on their feet. Here's something. In baseball, softball, whatever, if you're familiar with that sport, you have the outfielders and the infielders. What is their main objective when they're out there? To get the ball to get what? To get outs, yes. Now, if you've ever played or watched it, do the outfielders and the infielders, they both have the same goal, but I played decades of softball, and I was an infielder. You're always taught as soon as that ball hits the bat, literally, you're almost running forward. You know, you're pouncing. You don't wait for the ball to get to you, because why? Then the runner gets safe because, you know, they've had all this time. But if you're an outfielder, you can't just start running forward, because as soon as that ball's hit, you've got to decide in a few seconds, am I running forward? Am I running back? You know what I mean? You have to wait. So a high L, you're a high lion, you're a pouncer, which in emergencies are great. Not always great when it's not an emergency. Got to turn the pounce part off because other people don't want to be pounced, right? So we have to be, so here's for as a strength for a high lion. Oh, we need them because they're the ones that say, charge, let's go. I have this great goal and idea. And we need people in our world to do that. A lot of things we have because we've had lions be able to do that, right? They can be, you know, quick action, manage trouble. Now here's the dark side, besides being the worst listener. By the way, otters, you're the second worst listener. And the reason why is because your mouth is usually open. Just saying. Okay. Everybody's going, just wait, geez, we'll get to you too. So, for a high lion, you can be insensitive, inflexible, impatient. You hate to lose. Oh, we're competitive to a fault. We enjoy controversy. I know high lions that start arguments because they like arguing. They like conflict. Or high lions come in and they just want to rearrange the furniture because they just like change. High lions love change. Otters do too. Those two personalities love change. The B's and the G's are like, no. Okay? So high lions, you can be a bull in a china closet. Okay? You can just not be a team player. And if you want to charge and say, yeah, let's go, you have to do it in a way. You have to include everybody and bring them along with you. Okay? All right. So a high lion, you know, married to a high beaver, you can imagine. High lion's like, yeah, we're going to go. And the beaver's like, oh. And your beaver's going to have 20 questions at least, right? Because if you go to a beaver with a project or something, you better have it all detailed. You better have done your homework, by golly, because they're going to ask you a whole bunch of questions. And so make sure you have it all done. If you submit something to a high lion, it needs to only be 3 lines, and you need to have the bottom line right there. If you're having a conversation with a high lion, let me tell you, get to the bottom line immediately in the first minute. Then backfill with details. But don't go to a high lion going, let me tell you about my story. You know, and then you wonder why they're like, you know, and you've lost them. If it's something really, really important for a high lion and an otter too, just get to the point, all right? And then if you want to get something important to a beaver, make sure that you have done your homework and you can answer their questions. And don't be impatient answering questions because a beaver needs to process. Lions and otters, we are outward processors, especially otters. We dream out loud, which freaks the B's and G's out big time. Because they think whatever comes out of our mouth is gospel, and it's so not. Let me just tell you right now, it's so not. We're like, oh, I would like to move to there, and let's go to Alaska, and blah, blah, you know, and they're like, you know. So, you know, let's move here, and then they're freaking out. Okay, so just don't go there. But we need our high lions, right? We need it. We need them. So let's do the last one. How am I doing on time? Oh, good. All right, the last one, G's. How many of you are G's? Usually the room is full of G's. Stand up, G's. I want to see. I let everybody see you. Hi, G's. See? There you go. Yay, G's. Have a seat. Usually in this kind of setting, I always have a ton of G's. Why? Because this type of setting is perfect for you. G stands for Golden Retriever. I know, always. Let me hear the awes, yes. All right. Now, G's. The reason why we always have lots of you here is because this is totally fits your MO. Because high golden retrievers, their key word is relationships. It's all about relationship. You get up in the morning till you go to bed at night. Any major decision you make, I guarantee you, is through the lens of relationship. How is it going to affect my relationships? And like beavers, you like a little structure. You like it, but in your structure is usually family, close friends. It's all about relationships. For you guys, if you have one relationship, one, that's out of whack, it affects everything you do, right? You're like, you're obsessing about it, and it does. It affects because relationships are paramount to you. It's like breathing to you. Unlike the lions and the beavers, you know, again, we have to kind of think about what we need to do in relationships. No. Golden retrievers, you just breathe relationships, especially one-on-ones and deeper relationships. But golden retrievers, you guys are steady. I am married to a high golden retriever. Thank the Lord, because I need that. Anyway, steady, balanced, consistent. You would rather just relax. In fact, here's your personal motto. Why stand when you can sit? Oh, wait, I'm not done. Why sit when you can lie down? I just love it. I pick on all personalities. It's okay. But you're the chameleon. You're actually the toughest one to spot. And the reason why is you guys are kind of the chameleon of all of them. You know, if someone needs you to get up here and lead, you will. But you're just as happy to sit back and just be a team player. You know what I mean? You're very, very flexible in that sense. Your key word is peace. Oh, peace. Peace at all costs usually, which is not necessarily a healthy thing is. And of course, it's about relationships. You're super loyal, which is awesome. But again, here's your world. You lead by relationships. You accept friendship. You reject conflict. Oh, you hate the C word. Conflict. You know, it's like, ugh. And let's do it the easy way. Yeah. So your strengths are, so you're supportive, you're loyal, you're patient. You are the best listeners of all four. In fact, that's what gets you in trouble sometimes. You're such a good listener because God's giving you this gift of empathy and sensitivity, and you just can listen, and people will just automatically go to you to be heard. But you have to be careful with your boundaries because you can get sucked dry by everybody, you know, and you're listening, and you can't be best friends with everybody. So you have to be careful with that, or you have absolutely no life because you're such good listeners, okay? But even our lovely golden retrievers have a dark side. I know. I hate to tell you. I hate to break it to you. But you have a dark side too. And this is what happens. And I see this a lot when I deal with couples. Is that you have, again, that God-given gift of sensitivity and all that. But pushed out of balance. You're stressed. Ah! You wear it on your sleeve. Right? Oftentimes, I see golden retrievers married to high lions. And the high lion will come, and, you know, we tend to be really kind of short and to the point with our verbiage. And if we're stressed, really short and to the point, right? So we come home, stressed out lion, or whatever, either way, you know, coming up, da-da-da-da-da. And they're just, you know, being very matter-of-fact. But then that golden retriever who may be stressed that day hears, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? I mean, that's what they hear, right? And they wear it on the sleeve. Golden retrievers, kid you not, you are primo at logging and cataloging everything that's been said and done to you your entire life. And you can bring it up. It's amazing. My husband goes, remember that second date where you did it? I'm like, yeah, okay, that was like 40 years ago. Thank you. Let's move on, honey. Let's, you know, life's too short. You need to get rid of that baggage. That's the downside. For a high golden retriever, is you have to be careful of being overly sensitive. You also have to be careful of carrying baggage that you need to release. You have to be careful that you want that stroke, that relationship so bad, and especially if you're married to a lion, and this is the challenge, is the lion's, you know, and sometimes myopic and not doing the relational thing that they should. And so therefore the golden retriever tries to grab on harder. Tries to hold on tighter, which is suffocating the lion, which gets to be interesting dance. Does that make sense? So when we all get to learn how each other's wired and how we function, that's where we can be more patient. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But golden retrievers, because you tend to internalize those things, especially relational things, is you can hold grudges. You can be possessive. You have to be careful with that on the dark side. All right? You can sometimes not make decisions because you're too busy wondering if it's going to affect me or so-and-so or our family and miss out on some key things. So, but we need you. Oh, my gosh, we need you on the team. You're implementers. You are great team players. You administrate well. You're great mediators. But you need peace, order, security, someone to challenge you, someone to get you started sometimes, and visible appreciation, and also for change. If you're married to a golden retriever or you have a child that's a golden retriever and you have a big change coming up, try to start early in introducing that change. Because also beavers too, but especially golden retrievers, change, like a move, is huge because you're disrupting that's their safety net right here. This is my world, and you're rocking it. And golden retrievers don't like their world rocked in that sense, for sure. Okay? So they're always looking for a relationship to be built. So it's really, really important. So I gave you literally this little snippet, okay, of each of these. Now, the beauty is this. How many of you, pretty much everybody, and if you didn't, there's probably one you could go back and look at, but how many of you have something circled in every box? Yeah. We're actually wired, really, with all four. Now, you're going, but, like for me, let me just tell you mine. Mine is like 28 lion, 28 otter, 12 golden retriever, I think, 10 or 12, and 4 in beaver. Woo! Yeah, that's my strong suit. So, do not ask me to do your financials or your books. Or any kind of tech, okay? Just warning you. So putting me in a job, and a lot of times I work with businesses and do their team training, because a lot of times people are working the wrong jobs. Because they're in a job, they're not using their strengths. That doesn't mean you can't do it. If I had to go work in accounting, could I technically learn the skill and do it? Yes. Would I be miserable every single day of my life doing that job? Yes. Because it's not my wiring, it's not my wheelhouse, it's not my strong suit. And again, marriage is a little bit different, or relationships are different. We can't just leave that job and go off. But we can complete each other, and we don't have to compete with each other. So this is what happens. How many of you are high lions? Again, raise your hand. What's your second highest? Is it either O, the otter, or B, the beaver? Okay. So you can see, if you're a high lion and your second highest is the O, the otter, or the G, then that's going to help soften your lion. Does that make sense? If you're a B and your next highest is a G, which often happens, you can soften those more relational things. A lot of times with couples, it's finding where you want to land that makes the most sense for your relationship. So you figure out what your hub is, or any other relationship that you're trying to figure out, like kids, in-laws, coworkers, etc., and you figure out what's the common ground. And then what I also try to really emphasize is if you have golden retriever, both of you try to land on that, you know, a lot. Try to land, because that's an easier relational plane. Does that make sense? But what we need to do is help each other. And you're going to hear me say this. 5-second rule. This is so critical. So, here you are beginning to learn your language. I speak otter. You know, I speak combination of lion. You know, whatever the combination is. This is what I speak. And you're married to someone who speaks most likely something very different. And if he doesn't, let's say your husband tests out exactly like you. Guess what? There's different dialects. You still will have different ways that you like to be communicated to or like to be shared with or treated, right? So if you're a high lion and you're married to a high golden retriever, all right, where are you going to shoot for, high lions? You're going to shoot for golden retriever. You're going to try and speak golden retriever. So the 5-second rule is this. When someone, because remember, oh, by the way, the main rule in communication is the burden of communication is on the communicator. So a lot of times couples are like, well, I've said la, 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 and he doesn't hear la, 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 you know, and all that. And I'm like, let's back it up. If your husband's not hearing you or not responding or not getting it or whoever it is that you're talking, it doesn't have to be your husband, again, any relationship, you have to stop and evaluate how you are communicating it because the burden is on you, okay? So I have a lovely golden retriever beaver husband who's opposite me because my two highest are otter and lion. I have to stop. If I want to communicate something, or let's say he said something to me and I need to respond, 5 seconds, all it takes to go, oh, yeah, that's my golden retriever beaver husband. I need to speak golden retriever beaver. Oh, that's my stressed out lion. I need to not take it personally. Okay. Now, by the way, you can hear your lion go, but da 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 da. And you can go, because your initial reaction is like, right? Well, if he's going to say it to me like that, I'm going to say it like this back. No, stop. 5 seconds. First of all, lion, okay. Is he stressed? Probably. Okay, I'm not going to take it personally. I'm going to listen. I will maybe answer whatever the question, you know, whatever it is. Then, this is the key. After that, it could be right at that moment, or it could be a little bit later on that day. You have an opportunity to teach your lion spouse. You know, when you said to me this day, I know you weren't meaning this probably, but this is how it came across. Lions, we need that. We need people that call us on it. But it might not be the best moment to call it right at that moment. But if you take 5 seconds, you can stop and you can respond appropriately, but then come around and respond. With any personality, if I'm talking to a high beaver and I don't want to come across like yada, 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 and all over the map, I'm giving it some thought. If I have 5 seconds, I gotta respond to that way. What's the best way to get into a golden retriever, golden retrievers? If I want to talk to you something that might be a little tough or might be really important to me, what's the best key to open your door? What's your strong suit? Yes. So I'm not going to start with a golden retriever coming home saying, well, I got this list of tasks for you to do. Hey, honey, how was your day? How did it go today? What was the best part of your, you know what I mean? Have a seat here. Here's something to drink. Have relationship. Doesn't have to be forever. Then if there's a specific task you really got to hit on, that's when you do it. If I have people that work under me or work on my team or whatever, and they're golden retrievers, I'm not going to just immediately go, oh, my lion wants to, but I got to really catch myself. 5 second rule of not going to task and softening my voice and things like that, that so that a golden retriever responds in a way that makes sense and they're going to be willing to listen to me. Now, high lion to high lion, go at it. You can, you know, obviously still be kind, you know, but you can be short and to the point in that sense. Fine. You figure out what works for you, but that 5 second rule will be really, really, really helpful because so many of the conflicts that we have in our relationships are from misperceptions, right? And not, you know, yeah, not taking into consideration who it is that we're talking to. So really be careful about that. Now, I have something kind of funny real quick. Here's a situational example for the different personalities, okay? Let's pretend that you're all children in a ceramics class, and you've been asked to make Abraham Lincoln, little statuette, okay? And the high golden retriever has yours done on time. Nice job, worth displaying. The high beaver does an exceptional job. Buttons are etched, and it even has teeth. The high otter isn't finished because he's too busy playing with the other kids. The high lion finished long ago. Now he's working simultaneously on a horse and a buggy and all those other things. This is my favorite one. As four people, each isolated in Northwood's cabin for the winter. Here we go. The high golden retriever settles into the catch up on some reading or starts a woodworking project. The high lion gets cabin fever in a week and decides to remodel the cabin. That'd be me. The high beaver begins reading a book that explains how to live in an isolated Northwoods cabin. And and the high otter snowshoes into the woods every day to talk to the animals. But it's fun. God's amazing, and he's so creative, and he has these fun blends. And maybe your strongest, say, in this one area, or maybe these two, but there will be times when you have to draw upon your others, depending on who you're talking to or depending on what the task is at hand. In ministry, my little four and a beaver once a year when I had to do the budget. So my lion would kick my little beaver's high end and, you know, get up that four and do the beaver thing, get through it, and there we go. Do you see yourself sometimes? Now, by the way, in conflict, a lot of times when I talk to individuals and I find out what they are and they're stressed or depressed or those types of things, I want to find out what's not happening. Or maybe they're overextending themselves or stretched into an area where it's not their strong suit. And you can do that for a little bit of time, but you can't do it over long amounts of time without it affecting you emotionally, physically, and the situation and what you're doing. So it's really, really important to watch your boundaries in that. But for instance, excuse me. There you go. Now I just lost my thought. Daggone. Oh, well. Anyway, it'll come back to me. But I hope you're getting the idea of how important it is to make sure that you're drawing upon your strengths as God has given them to. If you find yourself in conflict, evaluate yourself, because really that's all we have control over, right? And so figure that out. Have fun with your kids. Now, some of you, many of you in here have the little bitties, obviously a little too young to know. But you can, as they start, even sometimes late preschool, early elementary, you can start seeing glimpses of what they might be, you know? Like if you have a child that's always just, you know, never knows a stranger, you know, and always wanting to be in the mix, and playing with others always, you know, they might have a little otter in them. If you have a child that's basically telling all the other kids what to do, might be a lion, you know. If you have that child that is uber organized, you know, and they like having order and there's arranging things, you know, literally there are kids. I know there are kids. I didn't have those kids, unfortunately. Let's just close the door. It was scary. But you know what I mean? You know, you have those that are really uber organized. Thus, you know, might have that beaver in them. You know, you have that one that's always wanting to bring a flower to their teacher, always wanting to curl up with you, always empathizing. You know, you might have that golden retriever. And again, we have all four. But have fun living in the skin and the area that God has wired you in. And by the way, as we look at our spouses and other people in our lives, or maybe some EGRs in our life, extra grace required, as you look at these people, remind yourself that God created them and was pleased with how he created them and their wiring. Now, maybe they're pushed out, maybe they're stressed, so it's not coming across real pretty, but then again, we don't always come across too well either. But this is where you can begin to start learning a language. And most people I know do not learn a language in a day or even in a year. How many of you had Spanish back in school, and how fluent are you? Yeah, most people are like, I can order off a menu. You know, and so we have to think about that. The more you use it, the more you think about the wirings that are in your life, start practicing their language. Start 5 seconds. Reminding yourself of how you want to approach them, how you want to speak it, especially when it's important, how you want to receive it. How do we blend? How do we begin to see each other through God's eyes? How do we appreciate the strengths that we can bring to each other? All those things are super important. So you have a choice. Do we let our differences divide us or draw us together? And that's really the key in relationships, right? In Romans 15:7, it says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We have a choice, again, to understand each other, to try and do that language, or just spend our life feeling like we're talking to a brick wall. The burden's on us. We can't blame it on anybody else but us. Okay? So I just want to encourage you that. Hopefully you gleaned maybe a nugget or two that might be helpful to you. If you want to do something more extensive in this, you can go to leadingfromyourstrengths.com, leadingfromyourstrengths.com. There is a couples profile there and also an individual one. And I think it's like, I don't get any money for it. I'm not like marketing. I'm just thinking it's like about $24.95, something like that. You take it. It takes about 20 minutes on the computer to do. And literally within probably that hour or two, you get a 25, almost a 25-page report that's pretty dead on, especially if you're really accurate. Take it with your husband. Help each other answer the questions so it's as accurate as you can make it. And it's fascinating because in that report, it also has a page of talks about how you like to be communicated to, how you don't like to be communicated to, all your strengths and things like that. So it could be fun as a couple over dinner sometimes, just like, you know, chowing on some of that stuff too if you're interested in that. But thanks for letting me share with you a little bit about the personality puzzles. So.